So today we're going to talk a little bit about unity. Unity is one of those words that kind of gets thrown out there a lot. It's something we like hearing. We like unity, we like love, community. These sort of buzzwords that we like hearing, but we're not really sure why. Unity is an idea that is kind of nice to us. This idea that we're all going to be together. And yet, I think we often confuse unity with sameness. We confuse unity with this idea that everyone's going to be in agreement. Everyone's just going to accept, you know, my opinion, because I want to be unified so long as I'm right. I know no one in the room feels that, just me. But I am right. So, yeah, unity is one of these things that it's probably something we would say is important, though we're not always sure why. The logo up behind me is the Covenant Church logo. That's our denomination. And some people call it four guys in a hot tub. If you look at it close enough, you'll see it. But in reality, it's a symbol of unity. It's a symbol of how there are differences, and yet in the cross, we're found together. In Christ, we are together. The covenant's phrase, which I don't know any Latin, so I'm not going to try and say, means together in Christ. Together in Christ, we can accomplish things. So today we're going to look at Ephesians 4. If you have your Bibles, open it up. It's about 3/4 of the way through your Bible, you'll find the book of Ephesians. But first, a little bit about Ephesus. So Ephesus was the second largest city in the Roman Empire. It was the capital of the province of Asia, which was at that time becoming a more important part of the Roman Empire. I have no idea how that happened. What? Someone was throwing stuff at the screen or something. So Ephesus, second largest city in the Roman Empire, had this really big temple to a goddess named Artemis. Was a pretty important port city on the coast of modern Turkey. And had a whole lot of different cultures. Because this temple was so important to the Roman people, you had people coming from all over. All different types of people from all different walks of life, different ages, different professions, coming together in this province. And that's the church that Paul's writing to. Now, he's not writing to one church in Ephesus. In fact, Ephesus was not only a city, but it was also a province. So it's a little bit like how we say, if I say New York, most of you are going to think of New York City, which you'd be right, but it's also part of New York State. So that's a little bit like what's going on with Ephesus. Paul is writing to a group of churches throughout the province of Ephesus, but with a little bit of focus on the city itself. And he sees all these different cultures coming together. And the people that are being converted into the church of Christ, the people that are trying to become better disciples of Christ, are from a whole lot of different places. You have rich, you have poor. You have some of the outcasts of society, like widows and orphans. You have people who are indentured servants. You have people who are incredibly wealthy. All in this thing together. And it wasn't always pretty. There was no kumbaya. They weren't all standing there. It just wasn't always pretty. But that's how we are as people, right? It's not always pretty. So let's look a little bit at what Paul had to say to the Ephesian church, starting in Ephesians 4:1. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I want to explore that a little bit, because I think there's something that is incredibly important about our calling in that passage. And it's not that the clergy are called, it's that all are called. Paul says that in Romans 8 as well. He says, all are called. And what is our calling? Well, if you just look at the words up there, you can see it says we should always be preaching. We should look like Jesus, especially wearing sandals. Be constantly praying. Pretty much always in this building. Right? That's what the words are? Oh, sorry. Must have been reading from a different Bible. No, it says, how do we live a life worthy of the calling? With humility and gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love is another one of those sort of churchy phrases that sounds really good, but if you boil it down, simply means dealing with each other. We all have that, especially in family, right? Not anyone in the room, but you know, you all have that family member that you simply deal with. Paul's kind of saying, deal with it. You're not always going to be in agreement. And yet, to be characterized by Christ is to be able to say, I'm willing to be patient. I'm willing to be gentle. I'm willing to deal with you in love. I'm willing to just deal with you. Making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Making every effort to maintain unity. Not maintain agreement, but stick together. Not we all have to think the same thing, or make the same amount, or be the same age, or like the same things, or talk the same way, or be from the same place. But we stick together. Being together is a constant theme, especially in a world where there's constant change, absolute constant change. Go to the next slide. One more, maybe? There's one in between those two, but here's what it says. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. There is one body and one Spirit. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. In other places, Paul says, it doesn't matter that I baptized you, or that Timothy baptized you, or that Barnabas baptized you. You were baptized. Not into a person, not even into a congregation, but into a church, into a body, into a family that you're commanded to be gentle with, and to deal with one another, and to be patient with, and to start with love. Not love in a candy heart once a year sort of way. Not love in a way that can be a giant marketing campaign for Hallmark. Not that I'm saying Valentine's Day is. Actually, that's exactly what I'm saying. But when we look at what it means to be unified in Christ, I think we have to look at what we're characterized by, both as individuals and as a group. Would you say in your life right now that you are characterized by gentleness? By patience? By kindness? And the answer can be yes. This isn't about self-deprecation. About being able to bear with one another in love. Regardless of how angry you might get, how much you disagree, how frustrated you are. What does it mean for you to be patient, to be kind? We all have these different gifts. Many different gifts. And yet, we're called to serve the same God. I'm going to go a couple slides ahead here. Perfect. The gifts he gave, this is starting in verse 11. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We all come to maturity. When I think about maturity, I kind of think about the series we just did on Ezra, where we talked about the foundation of the temple being built, and then it taking a few years for the rest of the temple to start getting built. There comes a point in faith where we have to simply say, okay, it's time to step up a little bit. It's time to look beyond kind of the expected religious piety and say, what does it mean for me to grow? What does it mean for me to become a mature, more mature disciple? And maybe even more importantly, what does it mean for us as a group to become more mature, to grow together? The body of Christ is a common image. This idea that, you know, we're all these interconnected parts with all these different gifts. And yet, I think one of the things that we miss when we talk about how, you know, someone's got to be the kidney and someone's got to be the elbow, someone's got to be the calf muscle. If the body doesn't grow together, it doesn't really matter if the parts are functioning. Can you imagine having, like, a little baby calf? So you've got like a 3-year-old's calf muscles with, you know, like Carl's arms over here, you know, big and buff. But you've got the little 3-year-old calf muscles. It won't go anywhere. It doesn't work. It doesn't look right. And yet, what we're called to in Christ is called to mature. Not mature in our ideas about things. That's not why we gather together. We gather together because of Christ. Unity is not because we all think alike, but unity is because we're connected to Christ. Unity is because we're connected to the head of that body. You can go to the next slide. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. As we grow together, we become more unified. Not in function, but in the person that we're seeing as the very point of the unification. We look at a resurrected Christ and say that's our connecting point. We always, as Christians, point back to Jesus. Sometimes forward to Jesus, but we're always pointing to Christ. If we lose that focus and start saying, no, you have to do this, or you have to believe this, beyond our core beliefs, which is the teaching of Christ, which is the Word becoming flesh, we say, this is who Jesus is. It involves a commitment for everyone to grow. It's why we do things like connection groups. It's why we want everyone to be involved in some type of community, whether it's an organized group or not. You know, some of the groups we've got going this session, we've got men's groups, we've got two different women's groups. We've got theological discussion. If you've never been in a connection group, we have a group that's going to meet after church each Sunday for the next 4 weeks and give you a taste of connection groups. A four-week commitment, meeting right here, right after the service. We have an opportunity for you to get fit together. Again, right here. We have all these different opportunities, and they're not the only way. This isn't to guilt you into signing up for a connection group. But I really do believe that the more unified we can be, the more we can continue to, at the very least, commit to growing together. Not being the same or maintaining some same level of our faith, but commit to actually growing closer and closer to Christ. And when I think about what that means in my head, know that I don't picture a super saint who suddenly grows a halo. You don't get a halo. You don't become an angel either. In fact, the Bible says you'll be better than the angels. Have authority over the angels. But in this life, what we get to mature into is more in the likeness of Christ. And even though it's probably a little appropriate that all the ancient paintings of Jesus, he has a halo. He didn't when he walked around. He was a guy who healed people, who loved people, who said the greatest commandment is to love God, and the second is to love others, and they can't really be that separated. Who said, redemption is for you and for the people around you. And so, what do? I think we have to look at what it means to be in it together. I think each of us has to take inventory of how are you growing? How are you committing to grow? And if you honestly say, I'm not, just ask why. No one's going to yell at you. But what is the reason for continuing to grow? For desiring to be more and more Christ-like? And if that's your goal, then the next question becomes, what can you do to help the church, this church and the capital C Global Church, to bear with one another in love, to be gentle and kind? Because that's the characteristics that Jesus described, that Paul described the body of Christ having. Would you pray with me as the band comes up? Lord Jesus, I thank you that you unify us. That in your church there is one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one body. I pray that we would learn to be gentle, to be kind, not for our own good or to make us look better, but simply so that your church and your name may be glorified. Lord, may our worship of you be acceptable. Lord, may you show us the people in our lives that we can be your hands and feet for. In Jesus' name, amen.